Yeah,
we made it. We made it.
We made it. We made it. By the skin of our chinny chin chins.
Oh, yeah. We were on a race against time to get here.
Yeah.
On time, actually.
Look, we, you know, first of all, it's the Stroll Show. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
We were so happy to be here. We couldn't even introduce ourselves.
Yeah, we got very lucky with the traffic. But anyway, first of all, I'm the C. Sitting across from me
is the Flow, guys. Welcome to this lovely Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the show. So we were racing across Brooklyn because for most of you guys maybe don't know, this place is located in Bushwick. We live in Bay Ridge. Not exactly close.
No. For like 35 minutes close.
It's almost a different borough, it feels like, to me. I mean, I don't know. But so we were cruising across. We were just going, you know, ever so gingerly across. And we hit this patch of traffic on the, what was it? The
BQE.
BQE, right?
The Brooklyn Queens Expressway.
Yeah, I never really know what that is. I'm not very good with directions, as you know. I'm not. That's not one of my fortes.
I never thought you were bad with directions.
I'm just not particularly good. I know where I am in the world. Like, I know like my coordination, like my coordinates. But I don't know, like I feel like every time I go to the city, like I go to work, I'm always like, whoa, it's like, look at this. Everything's like so big and like, where am I? Like, oh, is East and West Street of the same?
Like, well, that's like when you get out of the subway and they give you two exits. It's like, you want to go to, like, let's say your Houston streets. Like, you want to go Houston West or Houston South? Yeah. And I'm like, well, I don't know the difference. You know, like, I'm just getting upstairs and I'll figure it out when I get up there.
You know what's even worse, though, is Queens. Queens has like, there'll be like an Albert Place, an Albert Lane, Albert Street. And then like, it'll be like 103-284. Like, it's like a phone number for an address.
So I nobody go to Queens.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to go see the Mets. But you're not going to go see them anymore for us this year.
Well, you're repping the Mets today.
I am.
We heard Point of Order probably talking about the Mets right before us.
Yeah, it's our boys.
Those are boys. Shout out to them. But yeah, so did you want to mention something about the Mets? I don't know.
I it's nice outside. I feel like we're in a jersey today. It's loose. It's comfortable.
You look good, and it's Carter.
It is. It's Gary Carter,
the kid.
R.I.P.
And speaking of kids,
I subliminally did this. Oh shit! I'm sorry.
No,
this pen just exploded in my hand.
Put it down. Stop fiddling.
I know. I wanted to write something down.
Listen, don't do that.
Now I can write. Let it be. My it's all over my index finger.
Well, since you're acting like a kid,
Stephen, behave yourself right now.
Well. All you grown-up kids who maybe were listening to us last week, we'll fill you in.
We did it.
Yeah. Last week, we were supposed to have Jason Page on the show, who was the singer of the Pokemon theme song. And, yes?
No, I'm sorry. I'm still trying to figure out my hands.
Oh, what do I do with them now? I thought you were pointing at me.
No. I don't know what to do with my hands.
No. So we had scheduled Jason Page to be on the show last week, and we had a little bit of a miscommunique.
Yeah, a little snafu.
It happens. You know, he's in L.A., we're not. He thought we were going to call him on L.A. time, and that just wasn't the case.
Well, tell him we're very New York-centric, you know, over here.
And, so. Well, you know, exactly. So it was our bad. We should have, when we were scheduling, made it more clear. And then, you know, we should be catering to the guests, not vice versa.
That's true. But, you know, yeah, we should have just been like, because I feel like we never really deal with guests, you know, across time zones.
Yeah, that's
usually
true.
We try to keep it, you know, relatively tri-state area
right.
centric.
That's
you know,
true.
Say New York-centric, but try to keep it around the area, you know. But sometimes we want to reach out and get some guests that maybe we just kind of want to talk to. And when we get that opportunity, you know, we try to seize it as much as possible. Carpe diem.
Seize that day. So it's like, you know, we really wanted to get him on, and we messaged him again and saying that we were sorry, and he rescheduled in his the gracious man that he is.
Thank you, Jason.
He took his time out of the day. He said he was going to stay up all night and get up. Make sure so he didn't have to get up and risk missing his first ever Stroll interview.
I wonder if, you know, people, like, he parties hard.
Well, we can find out. We
could ask him. I could ask him if, like, he parties hard. Like,
the second he picks up the phone, we'll just be like, yo, Jason, you party hard?
And he's just like, why do you think I stayed up all night? And I'm like, oh, Jason.
It's like, all of a sudden,
that seems sexual for some reason.
Well, all of a sudden, he like turns into Andrew WK and he's like, well,
I was like, okay.
We would just rock into that as we were speeding through the lanes trying to get here. We were rocking out to a little bit of Andrew WK.
Yeah, we needed that. Get us amped up. That's like, you don't need coffee in the morning when you got Andrew WK.
Right. And you know what? Maybe in honor of that, maybe we should play a little WK.
Oh, you got a WCAG? Because I can't get it on my phone, but I'm scared to touch my phone at this moment because I have ink everywhere. Well, it's not everywhere now. I'm wiping it all over this thing.
Don't do anything you don't need to do. We're here. We're doing a show. It's not like we're doing anything important. Just take it easy.
All right, I'm taking it easy.
Take it easy.
I'm gonna wipe my fingers on everything now, just like when you're a little kid and you got like little cheese from the cheese doodles on your hand, and you start just wiping it on your like your clothes on the wall.
Yeah.
Maybe I just did that as a kid and up to this present moment, but.
Well, I know where you're coming from with that, and I find myself even to this day, like when I'm at work. Let's say, for example, like I spill something on my desk. If I don't have like paper towels around, I'll use like Post-its, and I'll try to scoop the water with the like I'll make like a little shovel and try to like scoop the water off my desk.
I know what you mean. Like sometimes I'll because I usually have a nice bowl of cereal in the morning when I get to work, and if I that milk splatter gets around, I'll sometimes use like the side of my hand. And then wipe it on like a bunch of things until it dries off. It's not a pro tip, but it's.
You got to do what you got to do.
Because sometimes I feel like, oh, maybe I have napkins. I'm like, I don't have napkins. I don't want to get up. Let me just wipe it on everything. You know, I think that's the safest way.
Just wipe it on everything.
That's
something.
Something like bamboos do. Baboons do in the zoo. Wiping the shit all over the place.
It's like a phrase that you probably wouldn't say in many contexts. Like I was in food shopping the other day, and we were trying to find out, we were trying to find a good cheese. No. You know what it was?
Was this yesterday?
Yesterday, but this is actually no. We were getting booze because you do, and we went to the liquor store across the street from the house.
Oh, Long's.
Yeah, Long's.
Give them a shout out.
I love Long's. And I found this really cool local distillery there who made whiskey, and. My sister was with me, and we were trying it, and she was like, "Can I smell it?" And I was like, "That's something you can only say in a certain context. Like, that only works when you're dealing with certain kinds of booze. Like, you know, it's like, can I smell it?"
Yeah, no one's gonna come up to you and be like, "Oh, look at my finger. Yeah, can I smell it?"
Yeah, I've never had that question asked to me. Like, oh, like I'm holding like a dog. Can I smell it? Can I smell the dog?
The dog would appreciate that because that's like a a hello type deal.
Yeah. But anyway, we're gonna play a song. Why not play some Andrew WK for all you people today out there partying in the sun? It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day.
You didn't have a good day yesterday, so make up for it today.
I gotta say though, yesterday it was supposed to rain, and it didn't really rain as much as it was supposed to.
Yeah, but I think maybe it rained in certain spots a little more too. I saw people being like, "Oh, it's raining and it sucks. What am I gonna do tonight?"
Facebook is basically the ultimate like weatherman.
Yeah, you don't even have to look outside anymore. Just look at your phone. And
it's
be like,
"Oh, shit, what am I gonna do?"
But yeah, so today we're all gonna party hard, just like Andrew WK. And when we come back, we're gonna
party.
We'll
party with Big Jason.
Yeah, Jason Page of the Pokemon theme song fame. Hopefully, it all goes well. Take Two is coming up next on Radio Free Brooklyn.
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
Yeah, Andrew Dub.
Let's
AWK.
Party hard with Andrew WK. That was actually very enjoyable.
I think everyone needed it. Everyone got excited now, I think, to continue on. Yeah. Not that I'm not excited at this present moment.
Oh, I mean, we should be excited because now we're actually going to get to talk to Jason Page.
Oh, I can't wait.
Of the Pokemon theme song.
I can't wait. We got so many questions.
Let's save it. Let's give him a call and hopefully we pray he will answer.
Yeah. Everyone remembers last week. If we go back last week, we remember Jason's voicemail. He was like, "Hello." We're not going to get that this time. Paul's been in constant contact with our boy, and you know, he's going to come talk to us a little bit. Yeah, hit that other button. All right, we're patching him in. Oh, start it again. Yeah, we have to dial collect. You got to do C-A-L-L-A-T-T, whatever that is. Remember that was the thing?
A-T-T.
I was watching the Pokemon anime because, you know, I just want to watch something just to familiarize myself. Yeah, give it a dial now. Want me to get it back there?
I don't know what's happening. Now it's not hanging up.
Hit the button on the thing.
All right. We'll try it again.
Want me to get back there? Want me to give it a little love?
Yeah, maybe you give it a little love. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
No, it's all right.
We skipped a week of stroll activities. And I don't know. I feel like I'm not in my usual rhythm from the last week, like 2 weeks ago when we skipped. And then I wasn't back here last week. Steve was back here running the ship. And I don't know. I just feel, I don't know. I'm all out of whack right now. We came in from traffic. We're doing what we can, ladies and gentlemen.
Hang it up.
It's maybe it's a, it could be a phone issue. Yeah, there seems to be a bit of a phone issue. Not sure what's happening, but we'll press on. It's clearly. Do you need to maybe have the button pressed?
It's like something's loose.
Oh, well. Yeah, it sounds like there's like a busy tone, but there's not.
Interesting.
You know what we could do?
What's that?
We could maybe play another song and try to figure it out.
Let's do that.
All the time. Alright. Why not? More Andrew WK coming your way.
Yeah.
All right, put me back. Yeah, we're back. We're back. A little phone snafu.
Yeah, this is, you know.
It seems to be the common trend with the phone system. Well, not really. I mean, this week it'll work, but like this week it's like doing this weird, you know, like a squirrel is biting at the wire.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a little bit of a Craigslist misconnect happening.
We know all about those.
But we've reached out to Jason, and we're gonna try to see if he can call us.
Yeah, we're gonna try to circumvent the system.
Unless we can maybe figure out Skype on the fly. I don't know if we can.
I don't know. I mean,
it seems like a little bit of a tall order. A little bit too much of a tall order to ask.
Yeah, I feel like I would need a laptop for that.
Let's think about it though. Let's think. What can we do?
I mean, what I was gonna say before, I was watching the Pokemon thing. But they make a lot of mention to call and collect. You know, I don't know. I mean, I remember the commercials for the call collect with the Carrot Top.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, dial down the center and call collect. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what that means per se. Does that mean someone else is paying for your call when you call collect? Or are you paying but down the line?
Yeah, you get billed perhaps.
How do they know? Like, if you're going from a payphone and you dial down the center, right? I'm going,
yeah.
C-A-L-L-A-T-T, you know? And then I do that. What happens? Where does it go?
I had never actually thought of that fully.
Maybe that's why they stopped doing call collect, because the bills are going to nobody.
You know? That's very possible.
A lot of, you know, pastel red envelopes floating around the country, but they were going to nobody.
Pastel red?
Yeah, like, you know when you get those, you got to pay a bill and it's getting past due?
Oh, that's true, yes.
You get those pastel, they kind of make it like very, not that I've ever gotten any of these, but, you know, very pastel-y type colors. And they're kind of giving you the message, like, listen, you got to start paying this. But when it goes to nobody, you know, you're going to get those deep burgundy red envelopes. Where's that going to?
That's a good question.
That's why Carrot Top is out of, you know, he's still performing, I assume.
He doesn't have much going on right now these days.
No, he is jacked now, if anyone has seen Carrot Top lately.
It's very odd and off-putting.
He's a gross man. He's a gross man.
Yeah, the funny thing about Carrot Top is, like, he was like a prop comic. Do you know that? Like, back in the day, like, he would come up with, like, all these crazy props that he would make, like, himself. Like,
seriously?
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever watched, like, any of his stuff on YouTube? Like, he had, like...
He had, like, Muppets?
No. Like props. Like...
Oh, like...
Like, I remember one time he had this big, like, almost, like, looking like these cones that look like Madonna's, like, oh, like things or something. Yeah. So, like, he would just use props to be funny. It's a very specific kind of
comedy. It is. It's a very tough. I feel like it's a very tough act to get down pat, because, you know.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
There we go.
Maybe they got Jason. So what do? I pick up?
Hit turn on the thing and hit the call button.
Hit the call button now?
Turn on the thing. Is it on?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay, yeah, hit the call button. Hello?
Good afternoon, Jason Bates here.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Jason, we did it.
Thank you so much for calling us, man. Really appreciate it. We're freaking out here trying to figure out the phone situation.
Oh, no problem.
Oh, man, and thank you again for rescheduling for us. You're live on the Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. How you doing today?
Excellent. Sorry about last week. I'm Radio Free Brooklyn. It could be anywhere.
Yeah, you know? I never know.
West Coast time. My bad.
No, it's all good. I should have been more clear. But anyway, so you mentioned that you might have some more crazy stuff that happened to you in this last week. How is the last week with all the crazy Pokemon stuff and everything that's been going on? Like, what's been going on for you? How's your life been hanging for the last couple of days?
It's an interesting analysis in the giant amount of nostalgia that's happening. People are able to express things that they were not able to express before because they didn't have a human being to express them to.
Right.
And this week has opened the window to a lot of that love that's just sitting inside of the hearts of so many people.
Right. So are you
pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Are you at all, like, shocked by the amount of like nostalgia that, like you mentioned, is attached to that? Like, is it crazy to you that people, like, because that's a soundtrack to so many people's childhoods. I mean, even me and Steve here, like, same thing as it definitely puts you in a time. As soon as you hear that song, it's like it really sits with people, for, you know, like in a special way.
Yeah. It's mostly interesting to realize, like, the kind of impact it's having. It's not a celebrity based thing where, like, people want to want to express this thing about this person that they that has been broadcast to them, that they are programmed to respond to. It's about the thing that the person did. It's about this feeling that they had from the thing I did. Like, most of the celebrity obsession syndrome today is based on these people and not the things that they do, just the people and the branding of them themselves. This is an actual expression and based on people's feelings about this thing that happened, which is this song and this thing that underscored their lives. So it doesn't really, their love is so much more pure. They're not coming at me because of me. They're coming at me because of something that happened to them in their lives, wow, which is what happened six times a day when they imagined this incredible reality of individual imagination and expansion as a child playing the game. It's a fucking, it's a whole different thing. Sorry.
No, hey, you can curse on this. This is totally fine.
Bleeping out the bad word.
No, that's all right. I'm curious. What is that like to be approached by, you know, now, because we're like in our mid 20s, so it's like kind of like our age group that's, you know, the kind of grew up with this the show and the soul and everything.
Yeah.
What is it like though, being approached and being like the voice of, you know, I don't know. It's a little, because you're saying it's not like a celebrity. It's more of a like recognition type deal. How is the reaction of the people?
It's kids that had a pure experience of Pokemon, not a celebrity experience of Pokemon, and they're now adults and they have kids and they have all these rules and rules good in a good way, all the Pokemon rules and experience stored inside of them, and it's all getting released through the game now. Like imagine if you went to college and you learned this thing, but you never got to exercise it again. But you spent 4 years of your life meticulously absorbing every last detail, and then you never got to have that job. You know, you studied medicine, and then you never got to be a doctor. This is like pretty much that. You get to re-access all the information that you've downloaded in your childhood in this new way now again, and part of that information is the song.
Right,
the underscore that you downloaded, but you guys downloaded lots of imaginative, like, experience, and you expanded yourselves and your own consciousness through this game, and now you get to access that shit again, and be in your own imagination again, and you know, it includes the imagination of the song,
right,
and now the face to the song as well. So, and it's not just you. People in all kinds of countries with all kinds of different cultures all coming together to have this imaginative experience and actually coming together out in the streets, walking around, moving about outside at the opposite of this whole social media absorption where you don't see anybody, and you don't interact, and you don't go out. It's getting everybody out together again. It's creating so much social good, social value, where you would think it'd be the opposite. I mean, there's the random incidents of crazy shit happening because people are paying attention to their
yeah.
That would have happened, you know, no matter what it was.
Right. People always look at their phones.
The when we first got texts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Beepers. Oh shit! Yeah, you're paying attention to your beeper. You're not looking where you're going.
Yeah, it's just it gives something else for people to blame that kind of shit on. So it's
right.
It's not so much it's Pokemon Go. It's just the culture in general. But what I wanted to say too is, like, especially now that it's you know, 15, 20 years later since the show and the game first started, and you decided to, when you realized that, you know, all of the nostalgia and the Pokemon Go that started, and you decided, oh, let me redo the video. Was that your choice to make that video? Did you do that yourself, or did someone approach you to make a video, or did you just think, like, maybe I should make this redo the song so people can see who's the voice behind this? Was that like your idea?
Yeah, exactly. I thought that there was a need at this point for people to there was certainly an opportunity for more people to see it. Anybody that wanted to see could have always searched and found me online. I mean, I've been there the whole time.
Right.
It's not so present in people's minds. But yeah, I thought we need to attach the face to the song, and what better way to do that than just shoot a video and put it next to the main title. And there it is. It's that simple.
It really went, done at
any time.
Right.
It went viral. I mean, that's what anyone could hope for in the end.
You were trending on Facebook, man.
Yeah, I mean. What is that like? You know, what is that like? I've never known.
It's an amazing thing to think about, and it's amazing to get back to the fans and have more people asking me to do things and more action in the Pokemon reality. But there's nothing that has changed in my life. There, I didn't do anything different other than make a couple of simple videos, and I'm making videos sort of all the time anyway. This song was done 18 years ago, and everybody all in my life already knows I sing the Pokemon theme song. Everywhere I go, my world, people already know that. They're actually more impacted about this public success than I am. Because what it does is it validates everybody else's belief in me for what they already know. I mean, they've been knowing the Pokemon guy, for 15 years. My friends have been like, oh, yeah, my friends think that's fun. Oh, yeah. And whoever they tell will freak out. But so this whole media blitz is really more of a validation of everybody else's feelings about me, confirmed by mainstream media.
Of course.
So, like, this is kind of like the election thing. As soon as, like, the mainstream media starts to tell people what they already believe in themselves, then they start to share it.
Yep.
They go, yep, that's what I believe. So everybody already believes I'm the singer of the Pokemon theme song. It's really cool. It's really great. And then they are validated by media sources.
Right.
Say it, and then they start sharing it. And they're happy because, check out the New York Post. They said exactly what I believe, Jason. I've known it all along. Now they know it.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting thing. So they're still kind of motivated by it. But
I personally, nothing
has really changed in my life. I'm still just chilling.
Yeah, I personally find, just to piggyback off what you just said, I mean, I'm a musician myself, so I kind of find it the same thing. Like, you know, obviously on a much smaller level, but like, it's interesting what you say is that the media kind of does control what people kind of think. So it's like if I'm in a band and my band gets written up in XYZ publication, and my band is just visible enough, it doesn't matter if I'm better than any other band. It just means that the media has confirmed that I am worth checking out. So then people will then go and seek it out. So it's similar to what you were just saying.
Yeah. And you were there all along. Your band was there to be checked out all along. But now that somebody else says they're good, that people used to trust, like the New York Post. Still, are they just giving that shit out in the subway and people throw it on the ground?
And then the newspapers aren't doing too well.
That's what that is. But to my friends and to the perception, when you put that logo New York Post above my name, all of a sudden they said this. Oh, the New York Post is right. Jason Page, he's great. We love him.
Yeah.
Well, let me.
Throw shit on the ground.
And Jason, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. So this song came out, you said, 18 years ago? The mm-hmm. Pokemon song? All right, so how did you get, like, hooked up into this, into the song? How did you find out about this opportunity to be the voice of the song?
I was doing session. I'm a vocal gymnast, and I sing all kinds of jingles.
Clearly.
TV, you know, backgrounds and for artists, and I had my own band at the time, and we made money. The band was called What's Up, and we had a public access cable TV show that was killing it in Manhattan.
We actually just found it on Spotify. Not to cut you off, but we were just wondering if that was you, the What's Up thing. And I was like, "Is this Jason? Like, your name was attached to it." So, and we listened to it. What was that? Is that like that was a band that you had back?
The band What's Up became the TV show What's Up.
Oh,
and that was what was sort of going on at the time. The TV show was going on while I was doing a lot of sessions. I was running around filming this public access cable TV show that was Kids in the Hall before Kids in the Hall. It was like the live version of South Park. It was YouTube crazy videos before YouTube it was even there. And we've kind of put some stuff up on YouTube, but it's funny because it's old school, crazy comedy, Saturday Night Live on crack. it looks just like all bad YouTube because we did it in the 90s. And, you know, running around making videos on Manhattan Public Access and being supported by session work, I'm just doing any job that's going to pay me a little bit for demo fees. And Pokemon was one of those demos that you didn't know if it was going to go or not.
Wow.
It went and then I continued doing all the stuff that I was doing with the TV show at that point. Mm-hmm. And continued session work in New York City.
What was it like when you first like had to do the demo for that song specifically? Like, 'cause obviously you nailed it and you really embodied the song. Like, I think that's a testament to kind of why no one even thought second, like, oh, who's singing this? Like, 'cause it just sounds like the song and the voice like fit so perfectly together. So what was your approach as a musician, like when you were doing this, like, 'cause you didn't really know anything about the TV show. You were just kind of coming in as like a vocalist singing a song. So where did you find that, obviously it's inside of you already, like that voice, but like, how'd you get the inspiration to sing it in that way? Because it sounds like you just got it.
Well, we get a little bit of direction from whoever the client is. At the time they had the TV show, they kind of showed us what it looked like. And once you get to a certain point musically, as we do with our language, we get off of the technique of what it is we're doing musically, and we get into the words and why we're doing what we're doing. And that's the advanced level of any sort of artistic effort. You've got your technical shit. I'm playing this music, but now why are you playing that music? What does it mean, and what's the essence of it? And if you can accomplish your technical side, then you have more time to spend on that. And that's kind of what goes on. What are we doing this for? Well, this is an anthem, and so it's got to be a rousing thing that everybody can attach themselves to. So I got to sing it in this way that's going to be really, anthemic and powerful. And so I focus on the words and extracting as much meaning as possible and passion and understand what it is I'm doing because I've got my technique down.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to sound like a 14 to 17-year-old kid. And now, what is he talking about? Where's his heart? And how does he blast you off to the next level? And that kind of thing.
And it certainly blasts off. I'm going to say that. did they when you were singing, when you were going
right,
in?
Yeah, better than I thought.
did they show you like clips of the show before you did the song, like to kind of get like a feel for what you were going to sing?
Yeah, they'll have a they had a little example of the Japanese show. I believe they played it in the control room, and you could see, all right, yeah, it's like that Japanese anime style. You can see what style it's going to be, and actually maintain that old school style. It's very simple, so I think it helps people connect with it because it was so simple. It wasn't like advanced animation at all.
Right. Especially back in the early 90s, it was like there was no computerized, it was just all hand drawn back then and everything. So yes,
VR world yet.
Right. I did want to backtrack a little bit and ask you about kind of like growing up, and because I did see on your Facebook, maybe it's creepy, maybe it's not, but I did see, and I want to know if it's true that you went to LaGuardia High School in the city, right?
Yes. I actually went to music and art prior to LaGuardia. I was in the last class 2 years uptown in the old school, 2 years at LaGuardia.
Oh, great. So I actually, my little brother is currently, he's going to be a senior there. And I just...
Wow.
Yeah. He loves it. And they put on great shows, and they're doing Les Mis next year. And he's playing a small character in the show because it's a little competitive, obviously. But anyway, point is, like, how did that form you as an artist? Obviously, it gave you a good stepping stone to the next levels of your life.
Well, I think it was more New York City that gave me the stepping stone rather than school. That school, as are any most schools, are just places to mentally circumcise you, and you really get your education outside of school. So if you're in New York City you have a lot of life to have outside of school. I couldn't wait to get out of school.
Yeah.
Didn't want to go. I don't think there's anybody that really wants to go to school. We all inherently know that it's a that it's a place that is going to that doesn't really enhance what we do. Even if it's a specialty like this, I studied voice at Music and Art, but the voice that I got in the world was way, way, way more informative, and I didn't really become who I am until I started doing it in the world. The training I got there was not much better at the time than your normal suburban high school with one or two periods of art and specialty a day.
Oh, I
just happened to be in the studio and, I mean, in the city and labeled and funded as an artistic school. But we were still brutally beaten with the academic schedule that gave us absolutely nothing that enhanced our brains. And just, you know, we sat in the rows and we had to ask to go to the bathroom and we had to do everything. There was no dancing on the cars outside doing musicals, running around, stopping traffic like they do in the movie. It was just as mentally circumcising as any other school.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to hear you say that. Sorry, what were you saying?
Yeah, it's weird. Specialty is the killer of the imagination. When you specialize in a thing and you only get that one thing, then you only become that one thing. And life is about gathering so much more, diversity to sort of make you a bigger being. Case in point, all of the different styles that I learned how to sing through all of the advertising work, I can sing in any different style. If I can only sing in one style, if all I could sing was like the Pokemon guy, then all I could do was talk like that, and then my whole life would be directed to be the very best. You know, that's all I'd be. It'd be like,
yeah.
You gotta be hip hop. You gotta be R&B. You gotta be rock. You gotta be classical. You gotta be soul. You gotta be Mongolian throat singing. You gotta be whatever makes you a bigger, broader person. And school and specialization just kills that.
Jason, so what
imagination is the thing. Hold on. The imagination is the thing that Pokemon is all about.
Right, totally.
So Pokemon is like the antithesis to school. People love Pokemon so much because they could use their imaginations and they weren't limited to finite ideas like they are in school. So you guys fucking got more out of your Pokemon reality, I believe, than you did out of school, the forced schooling system that tried to stop your imagination.
Hey, people still want to talk about Pokemon, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no one wants to talk about the fourth grade.
Yeah, no one's talking about math class.
Right, nobody's... exactly.
Yeah. No one's like, I remember Miss Mary teaching, geometry. No, we don't care about that.
You don't even fucking remember the names of these teachers.
That's exactly.
You didn't know who they were when you got in there. You know nothing about them, and you spend 12 years being told what to do by them, and they're being told what to do by people above them who are being told what to do by people above them. It's just crazy.
And none of them are probably any more qualified than
Pokemon.
Yeah. None of them are probably more qualified than the people who made Pokemon. So it's very equal, I'm sure.
No, because it's you that qualifies with Pokemon. It's your way of evolving these things and your way of feeding the Pokemon and your way of imagining what's best for them, for that individual Pokemon, not... Like in school, everybody gets the same thing. Everybody gets the same test. Everybody gets the same food. Everybody gets the same classes. Everybody gets the same teachers. With Pokemon, everybody gets different ones, and they all even act different. Even if they're the same, they have differences that you have to understand as an empathetic person relating to your Pokemon. Anyway.
No, it's true, man. I never thought about it in that way. And, it's just because it's always in my mind. And now that someone is saying it and I'm hearing the words that you're saying, it's opening up my mind to understanding more about myself as a person that likes Pokemon. And it's not even that. It's a communal thing that kind of brings the world together that we didn't even realize for all these years that it laid dormant.
Yeah.
And it comes back again. And then you realize it's this thing that connects people too, and it's a very special thing. And I take it for granted for all these years of my life, but it's like the more you talk about it like that, it really sinks in.
Yeah,
it seems goofy.
It's like a religion. It's a religion sort of practice that that's been lying dormant in people that is really like a truer sense of self, a truer sort of spiritual knowledge of oneself through one's imagination. And you're right. I mean, I always thought it as like it's a person and their individual that's connected to themselves through the game, but amazingly connected to so many other people too because of that.
Yeah, especially the Pokemon
personal
Go.
Personal and social.
Especially Pokemon Go, like
right. The Pokemon Go is just it's right.
Because everyone
it's
has
like
their
a
own
new church.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, everyone has their own journey, but then they all meet up with other people's journey, and they come to certain locations, and they, you know, people gathering together.
And the line in the theme song that sums it up is like, "You teach me, I'll teach you." Right. That's it's even saying right there that you need to connect with people to learn about this game. Otherwise, you're not gonna you're not gonna be able to figure everything out by yourself. You can't go it alone. You know, it's crazy, man.
Yeah,
I
think that's it.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
The entire Pokemon game is an analogy for people's lives right now and how they're helping each other to evolve to their highest level. And that's pretty much it. Everybody is a Pokemon to everybody else. And you gather your own superpowers in the world and you give them to your friends so that your friends can be the best that they can be.
Right.
And go out into the world as, you know, like they're all your Pokemon that you're helping to become better in the world. It's just a great sort of philosophy.
Totally. And you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. We're here with Jason Page. I just got a couple more questions for you, and then we'll let you go, man. Thank you again for your time. Okay. I can't not ask you about the recent video that got put up by The Rock with the redone Pokemon theme song. Did you get approached by obviously probably his management? But did you get to talk to The Rock or maybe meet The Rock? I mean, he's almost not even. He actually basically is a Pokemon. He's like a legendary. Like you can't find him in the wild. You know, you have to go out of the way. You got to go climb Mount Doom or some shit.
Yeah, he's a special celebrity. But his YouTube channel is managed by these guys who reached out to me to do the Poke Rock thing, and I thought, this is great. I mean, I already do my own sort of parody stuff, and this is parody stuff that supports the brand. So I want to, because I understand the importance of this philosophy and your guys' connectivity to Pokemon and fan connectivity, I don't want to be derogatory in any fashion or be too crazy with the nostalgia that you feel. I had a little bit of some bad comments actually on the Ron Paul Pokemon video, and it felt wrong to distort the song so much. I mean, it made a lot of sense to me because I believe in Ron Paul's message, so I took the song and I changed it a little bit. But there were fans that were like, "Oh, my childhood! I can't believe he's ruining the song." Oh. So I was very careful when the Rock's parody people, when they wanted to do that, and how much they were going to change the lyrics, because I didn't want them to be so bad that Pokemon fans and the Pokemon Corporation would be like, "Oh, this is messed up." But what it actually does, it just brings more attention to the brand. It supports the brand. The Rock is great for anybody's brand, and mine and Pokemon. So I figured, you know, it's a good thing to partner with him to increase the joy, so to speak. And the kids that were in the Rock, Pokerock video, those are Pokemon fucking experts. Those dudes are those dudes are 24/7 living Pokemon. So. Everybody involved was all supportive and good and in the right direction and a positive level. So that was very important to me.
Yeah, that's great. It was really it was great.
Hilarious.
I'm sure that attributed to the whole trending thing and that whole big burst of resurgence of the song too as well. Combination with you posting it yourself and
yeah,
The Rock.
He really.
You know, that's insane. But so you have something?
Yeah, I guess because we're coming to the end here,
yeah,
Jason.
For sure.
And I was wondering, you have anything else lined up, like any other Pokemon things coming in the future, or anything we can kind of get like a little sneak peek on, maybe?
Or anything in general that you have going on?
Well, there's going to be I'm going to be making appearances at crawls at the Pokemon events that are going on, where tens of thousands of people are gathering to do these sort of crawls. And there'll be some telecast, there'll be some live appearances, and I think there'll be some in Brooklyn. I have a friend who has a couple of really cool spots in Brooklyn, bars in Brooklyn. Off the Jefferson stop, he's got this place called Heavy Woods and the Bodega. Brooklyn is the shit, you guys. There's fucking more art there, more people talking about better things, better conversations, better food, better art, better music. You're on the cusp out there in Brooklyn. And my buddy Ben, who is actually part of that What's Up TV show, has these bars, and they can all become part of these Pokemon crawls where people go from one bar, the Bodega, right to the next bar, Heavy Woods, right down to the next bar, Bonus Room, down at the next subway stop, and catch Pokemon in all these places. They become Poke stops, they become gyms, and you guys know, have you been on these trainers set, these crawl things?
I've heard of them.
Yeah, I haven't gone on the crawls yet, but we've gone on, we've been playing the game, so we're familiar with like the stops and everything like that.
But the pub crawls,
yeah,
too, that's
dude,
the thing.
There's going to be thousands of people moving from one place to another. It's going to be a whole new type of social art form, and I'm trying to figure out how to musically underscore it with the Pokemon theme song and other live looping Pokemon-related sort of improvs. Kind of make it the musical art underneath of people's social movement gameplay.
Wow.
Just new shit is happening.
Yeah. This is breakthrough shit right here. This is unbelievable.
But anything else other than like not Pokemon related that you want to push? Maybe, obviously we've been talking a lot about Pokemon, but you do many other things.
Yeah, yeah.
So anything else?
Yeah, non-Pokemon related. I'm about to start a show in Los Angeles called, for the record, Scorsese, where we take Scorsese movies and we remix them on stage live.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Not the not film. But just and I last time we did Scorsese, I did Joe Pesci. We did every movie Joe Pesci was in. It was fucking unbelievable. These guys are fucking super talented group of people going here. The Wallace Annenberg Theater over here starts September 21st and October 23rd. It's a great show.
Wait. Are you in Joe Pesci's house right
Jack
now?
Jack Nicholson and all these great characters are going to make appearances in it. So if you're in LA, you guys got to come out and see that shit.
It literally sounds amazing, honestly.
Sounds great. Thank you, Jason.
And Christmas time, we got another thing coming, a Beatles gospel nativity.
Oh, my God.
We tell the nativity story with Beatles songs and a gospel choir. It's great. And I'll be in New York doing gigs. You can see me in my own, it's not a one-man show because I'm using a band, but doing my own music and some Pokemon surprises as well.
Awesome.
But yeah, lots of shit. And I'll keep you guys posted for sure.
Yeah, man. Definitely. Let us know, because we're right here in Brooklyn, right here in Bushwick, so we're close to where all the action is going to happen.
Yeah, we're sitting in a basement of a bike shop right now. Excellent. in a custom-made studio that is a community-owned and run thing. So, you know, we're right riding the edge. We're trying to ride the edge as much as possible.
On the cuff.
Yeah. Dude, thank you so much for
Jason.
Joining us.
Keep it real in Brooklyn.
That's right, baby.
All right, man. Be well.
Absolutely. And if anybody needs information, you can go to jasonpage.com. All the relevant show notes are right there. And vote for me at billboard.com to play the Super Bowl.
That'd be
excellent. I'm trying to get to the Super Bowl. And if you guys, on Billboard, there's a poll. If you want to vote, write my name in.
That'll be amazing.
And Jason, I'm writing it down right now because that's happening. I'm tired of Beyonce up there, but Jason, we gotta go. We appreciate your time. It was really
all
awesome,
man.
Enlightening. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you, man. You too.
All right, be well, Jason. We'll talk to you soon. If you ever want to come back on, we'll hook it up. All right, man.
Thanks, man.
All right, Bye. Take care. Bye, bye.
Well, there it is.
I think you know what I think we need.
Circumventing the system, Jason Page, Pokemon fame.
You know what I think?
Pulse feverishly working behind
the...
You
know what I think we need, though? We need to take 1 second to... We need 1 second.
Right. Please. A moment to reflect.
Ah.
That's a new. We got some drops. We're taking a moment to reflect on that. That was amazing.
Yeah, we needed that. It was great, actually. It was so timely.
And we thank again Jason for making the time for us, and he sat with us for the whole half hour.
Knowledgeable, very
knowledgeable, very even now he's texting me, thanks a lot, that was fun, beautiful man, Jason Page,
very passionate, very energetic,
and he understands the game, he understands the importance, even as somebody who was, you know, a little bit older, who didn't understand probably like what it was at the time,
yeah.
And it probably took years, but I'm sure he's thought about that quite a bit. I'm sure that he's really reflected on that for many years.
But, you know, he's not wrong, though. It took him a while. But people make fun of other people for playing Pokemon, like, oh, it's a childish thing. But you know what? In the end, the way he, if I could just have that sound clip like we did with Ninja Turtles that just explained that,
yeah.
I think that would shut everybody up, because everybody else that's not playing is just a hater.
I think...
Boom.
I mean, you just said it, man. And I honestly... I can't express how awesome it was to talk to that guy, and how
he's a wild man. I
loved
it. Full
circle it was to talk to him. Like, unbelievable. So anything, any other things we need to discuss before we get out of here?
I think we got to housekeep real quick.
We'll do a little housekeeping.
I have a
drop for that as well.
Yeah, we have. Paul worked all week on this, so we're gonna do it.
Hang on.
Towels need sleepy.
All right, we got so much magic. This is so beautiful. Once we get like a soundboard, that'll be awesome. But so this was sorry. So we're doing a little behind the scenes magic over here.
Yeah, what's the housekeeping about?
You know, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah. Last
I
week
I feel like I had something to do. Oh, and that's what I wanted to do. If you guys want to check us out on the Instagram, we're at the Stroll Podcast. Facebook is the Stroll Show with C in the Flow, which is mm-hmm. the two currently. You can check out the Facebook for Radio Free Brooklyn. Our Twitter, as I look right at it. You know, Stroll_podcast.
And thank you guys for making us the number one show last week. We really appreciate it. Even though we didn't have Jason Page, hopefully some of you guys stuck with us and believed when we said last week that we would have him this week. So thank you very much, and hope you guys enjoy your Sunday. And we're going to leave you with... little ballyhoo, cerveza, and as always, Vinny, you up?
You up, big boy? That was a wild man.